All right, Javosai, good morning. Good morning. Let's begin. So first of all, say our learning this month is dedicated by Ayal and Sarah Steinberg in honor of the yard site of Ayal's mother, Ilya Daphna Bas Yosef. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, her neshama will have an aliyah and the family a nechama. So let's begin. So today we have the great zchus to begin Maseches Zvachim. And first of all, Mazel Tov to everyone who completed Maseches Harius yesterday. Really a beautiful and incredible way to end the Maseches, an incredible Gemara yesterday. And the details for the Siyum Amir Tashem will be forthcoming, hopefully today or tomorrow. And we begin Maseches Zvachim. So as I mentioned before, when we learn the Sugyas of Karbanos, so sometimes, you know, because we haven't had them for 2,000 years, so we tend to tune out a little bit. But understand, when you learn the details of Karbanos, one has the opportunity to fulfill the concept of Unushama Parim Svasim. The same way that we recite Karbanos every single morning, and through the recitation of those Karbanos, it's almost as if one is offering up those Karbanos. When you learn the Sugyas of Karbanos as well, it's the same Kiyum. Unushama Parim Svasim. Every single word that we say, every single word that we learn regarding Karbanos, it's as if we have the opportunity to be makriv the Karbanos. And to a certain degree, it's even greater. Because in the Beis HaMikdash stood, and you want it to be makriv a Karban, you can only be makriv a type of Karban in which either you're obligated to, or if it's an optional Karban that you have the ability to offer. When you learn, you can offer any and every Karban all of the time. So in certain respects, the ability to be makriv Karbanos through the medium of learning almost offers us greater karbanic opportunities than actually mamish going to the Beis HaMikdash itself. So at times when the Gemara might feel a little bit, you know, very detail-oriented and say to myself, I have absolutely no idea what's going on, but just understand that on a certain level, every single word that we learn of this particular Masechta, we have the opportunity to be makriv karbanos. And haludai natzuchus, Kodesh Baruch Hu should see the love, not only that we have for his Torah, but the love that we have for his karbanos, and the zchus of us learning Masechta Zvachim, we should be zochah before the end of this Masechta, to stand together in the rebuilt Beis HaMikdash, to be able to be makriv our true karbanos, with the Melech HaMashiach, Imhir Rabbi Aminu. Amen. Kol HaZvachim. We'll say, let's begin. All karbanos shenizbechu shelo lishman. All karbanos that were offered up shelo lishman, not for their own sake. Now look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, kol hazachem shenizbechu shelo lishman, shenishchat ola l'shem shlamim. So Rashi gives a more extreme example, although we'll see other examples of this. But Rashi understands shelo lishman literally means I'm offering the karban for a different type. So for example, again, I was supposed to offer up an ola is a karban that is totally consumed on the mizbeach. But instead, I had in mind that it should be l'shem shlamim. I had in mind that it should be for the sake of a shlamim. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Ksherim. The halacha is its kosher. Now we're going to have to discuss what kosher means exactly. Kosher for what? Rashi says over here, ksherim lizrok damam o lahaktir emurehem v'le'achol es hane'acholin. So we'll say, we're going to see is ksherin means that the carbon can continue to be offered. In other words, even if I shechted it, not for the intention of the particular carbon that it was supposed to be offered for, I have the ability to continue forward with the carbonic process. However, ella shalo alu lebailim l'shem chova. I will say rather, but the only caveat is that if I'm bringing this carbon to satisfy a particular obligation, if I shechted it shelo lishman, then it does not satisfy that obligation. So for example, as we will see, if I had the obligation to bring an ola, and I went ahead and instead offered it up as a shlamim, as much as the carbon itself is kosher, the carbon itself is kosher, meaning the carbon could be offered, but it does not satisfy my obligation, and I will have to bring another ola. Chutz min ha-pesach v'achatos. With the exception of the Pesach and the Chatas. I will say now, when we say with the exception of, that we're going to see, these are karbanos, that if they are not offered up the Shema, if they are not offered up for their intended purpose, then halacha l'maisa, they are pasul. We will discuss in the Gemara later on, in really like 2 weeks or so, we'll discuss in the Gemara exactly what's unique about Pesach, what's unique about Chatas, but for our purposes now, here's what we have. Every single karban, even if offered up for a different intention, will still remain kosher, except that does not satisfy the obligation of the owner. So far, according to the Tanna Kamma, with the exception of Pesach and Chatos, HaPesach Bizmano, it will say, when do we say that a Pesach that is offered up for the intention of a different karban ultimately is not kosher? That's only Bizmano. Look at Rashi, HaPesach Bizmano, Pasel, Shelo Lishmo, Kozman Shchitas, Odahinu Mechatzos, Hayom Shal Erev Pesach, Ad Ha'erev. Aval kodim lochin va'achar mikan kaim alon de Pesach b'shayim osa hashana shlama. So we'll say Rashi is giving us some details that in Eretz Hashem we will learn later on in the Masechta. But for now, we're just going to go with the simple reading of the text. When do we say that a Karban Pesach that is offered up not for Pesach purposes, what we call shelo lishmo, is going to be possible? That's dafka bizmano. That's dafka on Erev Pesach from midday, from Chatzos and on. We'll say we will see that a Karban Pesach essentially is a shlamim offering, right? Because remember, again, there's a part that's offered up on the Mizbeach, there's a part that's for the Kohanim, there's a part that's for the owners. So, by Pesach, Bizmano, that is not offered up, the Shema, is going to be possible. V'achatos b'cholzman. But a Karban Chatos, Rabbi said, that is not offered up as for the sake of a Chatos, but is offered up for something else, is going to be possible. Possible Gamre, as we'll discuss. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Af Ha'asham. Rabbi Eliezer adds on to this, is Rabbi saying Asham as well. That if you have a Karban Asham that is offered up for another purpose, meaning when we see another purpose, meaning it's offered up in mind for a different type of Karbanic offering, Rabbi Eliezer says that'll also be possible. Ha'Pesach Bizmano, V'achatas V'asham B'chozman. And Rabbi Eliezer is adding on to the list. He says, a Pesach, if offered up for the purpose of some other karban, ultimately, again, on Erev Pesach will be possible. Chatos and an Asham that are offered up for some other purpose will always be possible. Amar Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer said, HaChatos bo achit, va Asham bo achit. A Chatos, Rabbi Eliezer says, a sin offering. An Asham is a sin offering, so we'll discuss again, when do you bring a Chatos, when do you bring an Asham? Machatos psula shalol lishma, just like a Chatos is possible, Rabbi Eliezer, if offered up. When we say again, shalol lishma means for the sake of another karban. In other words, remember again, just to illustrate this, a Chatos lishma, Rabbi Eliezer, means what? A Chatos that is offered up for a Chatos. A shalol lishma means a Chatos that's offered up, whatever, you fill in the blank. An Asham, an Ola, Shlamim, Karban Pesach, whatever it is. So Rabbi Eliezer says, just like a Chatas is Pasul Shalol Lishma, Afa Asham Psula Pasul Shalol Lishmo. So Rabbi Eliezer essentially will see, makes a Gzeirah Shava. Just as the Chatas ultimately, again, comes for a sin, is going to be pasul shalol lishma, so to an asham that comes to him a chaper for chait, if it's offered up shalol lishma, it'll also be pasul. Next, Yossi ben Choni Omer. Yossi ben Choni says as follows: Hanishchatin l'shem Pesach u'l'shem chatas psulin. So we'll say we're going to see exactly what it is that Yossi ben Choni is coming to add in over here. So Yossi ben Choni says that which is offered up l'shem Pesach with l'shem Chatos is possible. We'll see in the Gemara what Yossi ben Choni means. Shimon, Achi Azariah Omer. Shimon, the brother of Azariah, says, Shachtan, So up until now, what we've done is as follows. We've created a principle. What's the principle? That karbanos, in an ideal sense, every karban is supposed to be offered up lishma, which means that if you're bringing a particular karban, you slaughter it and you perform all of the avodas for the sake of that particular karban. What we have learned is what? That if you offer up a karban shalol lishma, then what's the halacha? Right? I'll give you a hint, we learned it 4 minutes ago. Good morning, everyone. Right? So again, Mamish, we just started Zvachim. You can't tune out yet. You gotta give me like 2 days. Give me 2 days. So we'll say, remember again. So we discussed 4 minutes ago that if you offer up a karban shalol lishma, the karban is kosher, except it does not satisfy the personal obligation of the owner. So the owner has an obligation to bring a particular type of karban. If he offers it up shalol lishma, ultimately the karban is kosher in that you could continue to offer it up on the Mizbeach, but it doesn't satisfy his personal obligation. Then the Mishnah, part two is, there are exceptions to that rule. What are the exceptions to that rule? It appears Karban Pesach is an exception to that rule. It appears that Chatos is an exception to that rule. And at least according to Rabbi Eliezer, it appears that Asham is also an exception to that rule. Okay, now part three. Yossi ben Choni Omer. I'm sorry. Shimon Achi Azari Omer. Shachtam l'shem gavoa mehen k'sherin. So we'll say, now we continue on in the discussion of Shalol Lishma. So we'll say, so if you go out and you shecht a karban, what Shimon Achi Azariah says is L'shem Gavoa. L'shem Gavoa means, if let's say we'll say, I'm offering karban A. Now remember, we have not yet gotten into the halachot, or I should say, the framework of kabbalos, kachim kadoshim, kachim kalim, higher sanctity offering, lower sanctity offerings. We're going to get into all of that now. Right now, we'll just deal with this on a very high level. So Shimon Achi Azariah says as follows: if you take a karban, shachtan l'shem gavoa mehen. We'll say if you take a karban and you shecht it shelo l'shma, but watch this. What's happening? What kind of shelo l'shma? You're shechting it with intention of a karban that is of a higher sanctity. Then what's the halacha? Ksherin. The karban is kasher. L'shem namuch mehen, psulin. But if you shecht it shelo l'shma, and you have in mind that you're shechting the karban for the intention of a karban that is of lesser sanctity, then what? Then it's possible. Ketzad, for example, kodshe kadashim sheshachtan l'shem kodshim kalim, will say if you had a karban that was kodshe kadashim, which is the highest sanctity, highest level of karbanic sanctity, so I had a kodshe kadashim karban, but I shechted it l'shem kodshim kalim, I shechted it again for the sake of a lower sanctity karban, then psulim. Kodshim kalim sheshachtan l'shem kodshe kadashim. Rabbi said, on the flip side, if I go ahead and what? If I go ahead and I take something that was kodshim kalim, and I go ahead and I shecht it for the sake of kodshe kadashim, higher sanctity karbanos, then ksherim. Then Rabbi said, that'll be kasher. Rabbi said, now, one of the interesting things we're going to have to see is what the Tanakhama holds regarding Shimon's position. Remember, again, the Tanakhama doesn't seem to... we'll see how to reconcile Shimon Achi Azariah Shita with the rest of the Mishnah. But for now, Rabbi said, this seems to be a third part of the Mishnah, that Shimon Achi Azariah says... even when we say shelo l'shman is kosher, but shelo ol l'shem bailim, Shimon Achi Azariah says, if you're shechting it shelo l'shman for a higher sanctity, it's kosher. Shelo l'shman for a lower sanctity, it will be possible. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says... Shlomim, I'm sorry. Habachar v'hamaiser sheshacht on l'shem shlomim. So I will say again, this is just another example of Shimon Achi Azariah's principle. Bachar and maiser sheshacht on l'shem shlomim. So I will say bachar and maiser. Right, bachar is the firstborn animal. So maiser is maiser behemo. So ultimately, again, if it was shechted l'shem shlomim, I will say. So this is an example of taking a lower sanctity karbanic offering and having in mind a higher sanctity, shlomim is higher than bechor and maaser, then ksherim, then ultimately again the karban will be pasur, will be kosher. Excuse me, shlomim sheshacht on l'shem bechor or l'shem maaser. But if you take a shlomim offering, which is of a higher sanctity, and when you go ahead and you do the shlita, you have in mind for bechor or for maaser. Ultimately, again, it will be possible. So, we'll say, so this last case is just an example or just an illustration of Shimon Achi Azariah's principle. Good. So, we'll say, so says the Gemara. Lama li lemisna ela shelo alu. Lisna velo alu lebailim l'shem chova. So, we'll say, the Gemara now asks a syntax question. If you remember again, how does the Mishnah start? The Mishnah begins with a statement. Kol azvachem shenizbuchu shelo l'shman. Anytime that you offer up a karban, not for the sake of that particular karban, shelo l'shman, ksherim, it is kasher, elo shelo alu lebailim l'shem chova. But it does not count to satisfy its owner's obligation. Asks the Gemara, why do you write it ela shelo alu shelo alu? Rather, instead write velo alu lebailim. What do you mean ela shelo alu? Just write again. They're ksherim velo alu l'shem bailim, and they did not satisfy the owner's obligation. The Gemara is just asking a syntax question. Why do you have to write ela shelo? That just seems to, that word ela just seems to be unnecessary. To which the Gemara says, oh, I'll tell you why. So the Gemara says, Hakamash Molon, Lebailim hu delo alu, l'shem chova, ava bikdusha saihu kaimi. So we'll say, what it does teach us is as follows. It tells us, the Elo teaches me, that even though it does not go ahead and what? It does not count to satisfy the owner's obligation, the karban still remains in its state of kedusha, va'aser l'shanuyei bahu, and it is prohibited to make any further changes in that karban. I will say, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. It's the second to last Rashi on the daf, the first of the wide lines on the bottom. Aba bikdusha sayu kaimi va'asra l'shanu yebuhu su shinuya achrina la'avod achas mishara avodos l'chatchila shelo l'shma mihuim avar v'shina kasha. I will say, what this means is as follows. I might have thought that once you deviated from what was supposed to be the normative designation of this carbon. Once you've deviated, you could deviate as much as you want. To which the Gemara says, no. What the Mishnah is coming to teach me is as follows. Yes, it is true. Kol azvachem shenizbechu shel lishman kshedim. If you offer up a carbon, not for the intended purpose of that carbon, so the carbon is still kosher. Ela shelo alu lebailim. Except the only change over here is that what? It does not satisfy the owner's obligation, but the carbon itself is still sacred, and one should not make any more deviations in the offering process of this carbon. In other words, one might have thought that once you deviated, you could deviate as much as you want. Kamash malon, no. Even though you deviated, so now again, the carbon can't count towards the obligation of the owner, but the carbon still has its sanctity. And therefore, one should not make any more deviations than one already has. So the Gemara says, Uchid Rava, Dama Rava, Rava says, Ola sheshachta shelo lishma. Well, say if an ola was shechted shelo lishma, meaning an ola was shechted for some other purpose other than an ola, aser lizrok dama shelo lishma. We'll say, so the halacha is, remember, once an ola is shechted shelo lishma, we'll say, then what happens? What happens? It becomes that carbon that it was shechted for. So let's say again, the ola was shechted l'shem nedava, for argument's sake, whatever it is. Hey, so we'll say, so therefore, what does that do? That goes in and transforms it into a nedava. And when you go out and you sprinkle the blood, you should have in mind to sprinkle the blood l'shem nedava. In other words, don't deviate anymore when the blood is being sprinkled. Also, lizrok dama shel lishma. In other words, once you've deviated, don't think that therefore you could deviate as much as you want. Rather, go ahead and maintain the same kavanas for the rest of the zrikas as well. So I'll say, Dama Rava, just read that once more. Dama Rava, Ola sheshachta shel lishma, that if an Ola was shechted not for its own sake, Aser lizrok dama shel lishma. We'll say, just because the Ola was shechted shel lishma does not mean the other avodas should be done shel lishma as well. Rather, those should be done lishma. We'll say, let me clarify this. See, I might have thought that once you've deviated with the carbon, so kind of do whatever you want. Kamash malon, no. Even if you've deviated, so now what you've done is, Rabbi said, when you deviate, what do you effectively do? Again, we're gonna see this in the Gemara. You effectively end up repurposing the carbon. Once you end up repurposing the carbon is still kosher. But just understand, once you've repurposed, then stay the course. And then make sure ultimately, again, that the subsequent avodos are done for the same purpose as well. That's the idea that Gemara is coming to teach me. So the Gemara says, where do we know this from? Ibai sema svara, ibai sema kra. One possibility is I learned this out from a svara, logic. Other possibility is a pasuk. Iboy same as svara. So see if you want to say that it's a svara. Mishum dishani ba kalhani lishtim ba valezel. So I say the svara is, just because you deviated once, should you continue to deviate? In other words, we're both saying, so the idea over here is as follows. That halacha lemaisa, one would have thought, that once you've deviated, you can kind of do whatever you want. Kamash mal, no, just because you made one deviation does not mean that automatically a person should continue to go ahead and do more deviations as well. See, even if I've gone ahead and I've deviated, even if I've gone ahead and halacha lemaisa changed the intention or changed the kavana of the carbon, one should not continue to deviate forward. Rather, one should ultimately stay the course. Ibai semikra. What's the other possibility? Is a pasuk. What's the other possibility? Motzas vasecha tishmar vasisa kasher adat l'ashem elokeach. So understand over here. The incredible chiddush that the Gemara is teaching us is as follows. Chiddush number one is that if you offer up a carbon shelo l'shma, then what? What's the chiddush number one? Is that it's kosher. Chiddush number two is that what? It transforms into that new carbon that I had intention for. Chiddush number three, which is really not such a chiddush anymore, is stay the course. Stay the carbonic course. So I was supposed to offer up whatever it is, a shlamim. And then instead I had in mind for an ola. Fine. Stay the course for the ola. Now stay the course. The carbon is kosher. The carbon is good. It doesn't satisfy my obligation, but stay the course. Do not deviate anymore. So let's say, where does the Gemara live? So makra, pasik. Motzas vasecha tishmar, vaasisa kasher adarta l'ashem lakecha nadava. So I'll say, so the pasuk says, Motzas vasecha tishmar, that which you have promised, you should keep. That which you have promised, ultimately, again, you should adhere to. Vaasisa kasher adarta, you should do as you pledged to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'ashem lakecha, nidava. A nidava. So Gemara says, I don't understand. Hi Nedava. Why does the pasuk end off Nedava on the days Nederhu? So you say, you understand the inherent contradiction in the pasuk. The pasuk begins by saying, Motzos Asachat Tishmar. If you made, if you vowed something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should keep it, right? Kasisi Kasher Nadarta. If you made a neder, you should uphold the neder. Nedava, right? Kasher Nadarta Shal Kach Nedava. So we'll say, which one is it? The pasuk is talking about a neder. We'll say, as we're going to see, there's just a neder offering and a nedava offering. The pasuk says, if you promise to bring a neder offering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, follow through. And if you, right, follow through, how should you follow through? By nedava. I don't understand. If it's a neder, it's not a nedava. If it's a nedava, it's not a neder. The pasuk is telling me that if I made a neder to bring a karban, follow through. Why did it bring in nedava? To which the Gemara said, well, so listen to this. Ela, im kamash nadarta asisa yehi neder. If ultimately, again, if you've done as you pledged, right, then ultimately again follow through. V'imlo nidava yehe. So we'll say, watch this. So the Gemara says as follows: if you promised to bring a neder and you follow through, your kavanos is for a neder, everything fantastic, bring your neder. But if for some reason you've deviated and you had in mind that your neder should what, be a nidava, then what? Follow through on that. Stay the course. I mean, even after you've shifted, follow through. Look at what I say. Look at Rashi just a moment. Nederhu, toha kasher nadar teksiv, v'yesh chiluk bein neder l'nedava. Neder damar hare alayim l'nedava. We'll see this. We'll say, im kamash nadar tazisa, sha'avad avod avdosei l'shma. So we'll say, if I had in mind to bring a neder, and I'm doing the avodas l'shem neder, fantastic. Then great. Stay the course. However, im v'im lav, yehe l'nedava. So we'll say, here what's happening over here? What the Gemara is saying is as follows. The Pasuk is talking about someone who began this karbanic journey. We're all on a karbanic journey together. He began this karbanic journey by ultimately saying, I'm going to bring a neder. Okay, so fantastic. If your journey begins with a neder, and you offer it up as a neder, shalom aleichem, everything's fantastic. But if for some reason, over the course of your journey, that which was supposed to be a neder, you had in mind for a nedava, and when you shechted it, you had in mind for a nedava, then what? Then what? Follow through. Then follow through. If you changed already, and you changed it to a nedava, follow through. The one issue that you may have to deal with later on is what? That you probably did not satisfy your obligation. That we'll discuss. That's separate. But what it's teaching me is that once you've deviated, stay the course of the deviation. Follow through on the carbon the way you started this, the way you started this carbon offering. And certainly again, once it's a nedava, then halacha lemaisa, you're not permitted to deviate from it. So the Gemara says, look at Rashi, nedava mishar l'shinuyeba. So once it's a nedava, Rabbi Osai, one is not permitted to deviate anymore. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is as follows. Again, Rabbi Osai, it's a very simple principle. I might have thought that once I deviated, I have a license to deviate back to what the carbon was supposed to be. Kamashmal on what? Kamashmal on no. Once you've deviated, then that's the course you stay on. So it was supposed to be a neder. Then at the time of Shechit, I had a mind for a nedava. I deviated. So what does the Torah teach me? Stay the course of the nedava. Stay the course of the nedava. Which, by the way, we understand an incredible, incredible musr in this as well, which Rabosai, is the need to stay the course in life. You know, sometimes, again, we make mistakes. Sometimes you get on the wrong path. So we'll say sometimes you have to change courses, but sometimes you just have to stay the path and continue forward. You made a mistake with your karban, it's fine. Finish out this karban in accordance with your deviation. You may have to bring another one to satisfy your obligation, but no flip-flopping. No karbanic flip-flopping over here. So we'll say, the Gemara goes weiter. So now what we have is as follows. What we have is, what the Mishnah is coming to teach, Rabbi Osei, is like this. There are really two principles over here. Number one, that if I was supposed to offer, I was offering up a karban, and I was supposed to offer it up for A, whatever A is. And at the time of the Shechita, I had a mind for B. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Karban is kosher. Again, we'll deal with the fact that if that karban was supposed to satisfy an obligation, I didn't satisfy my obligation, but the karban is kosher. But what's the next chiddush of the Mishnah? Don't flip flop. Which means if you shechted l'shem B, then what? Stay the course of B. Finish out the avodas of the karban for the sake of B. How do we know that? Either svara, just because he changed once, they'll keep changing, or pasuk. Good. So we'll say now weiter. So listen to this. Amar li Ravina le Rav Papa. So Ravina said to Rav Papa, lo havis kaban ba'arta. You were not, well, let me read the rest of the phrase. Lo havis kaban ba'arta b'tchuma be'charmach derami rava mili ma'al yasa ahadadi v'shanilu. So we'll say, listen to this. So Ravina said to Rav Papa, you know, Rav Papa, you really missed out. You were not with us, right? You were not with us the other evening in the tchum of Becharmach. Becharmach is a place where Rava Rava said some incredible things because he brought up some contradictions and he resolved them. Sibo said, these are the kind of friends you have to find in life. The kind of friends who give you a shtuch, boy, did you miss a night out with the guys last night, right? We were at the tchum of Becharmach and Rava Mamish was reconciling Bryce's like nobody's business. And you Mamish, you missed it. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry you missed it. But it was an incredible, incredible evening. Well, say, these are the kind of chavirim we have to have. So these are the kind of nights out we have to have also. But okay, so says the Gemara. My mili mal yasa. So we'll say, what is it that Rava? What is it that Rava was contrasting? And what are the reconciliations that he brought up that were so amazing? We'll also listen to this. Tanan, kol hazvachim shenizbuchos shel lishman. So we'll also listen to this. So what he quoted over here, so the first thing that Rava quoted was our Mishnah, kol hazvachim shenizbuchos shel lishman, which means all karbanos. So we'll say that were offered up shel lishman. So remember again, our Mishnah says, well, this is just go from our Mishnah, ksherim. Right? The halacha is that they're kosher. So we'll say, so what do we see from this Mishnah? Taima the shelo lishman. So the reason ultimately, again, the reason we'll say, the Mishnah says two things. Number one, is that halacha l'maisa, the carbon is kosher, but shelo alu l'shem bailim. They do not satisfy the obligation of the particular owner. Now, what Rava inferred from this is as follows. Taima the shelo lishman. The reason that the karban mentioned by the Mishnah does not satisfy the owner's obligation is why? Because it was being offered up shelo lishman. Meaning, we'll say it was actively being offered up for another purpose. Hastama alu nami labaylum l'shem chova. We'll say, but what can you infer from here? What you could infer from here, we'll say, is what happens if when the owner offered up the karban, he had no kavanas? He just checked the end. He didn't have in mind for anything. Obviously, he has in mind that it's a karban, but he has absolutely no das what type of karban it is. So we'll say, what do you see from here? It sounds like from based on the Mishnah that if the owner offered up the karban, what we call stama. Stama means with no particular intention. Nami alu lebailim l'shem chova. It would satisfy the owner's obligation. We'll say, now remember again, where is that deal coming from? Because the Mishnah's case, we'll say, is what? Kol hazvachim shenizbuchu shelo lishman. But say, remember again, what does shelo lishman means? What does shelo lishman mean?
For something else.
And shelo lishman means, I have active das for something else. That, Rabbi says, that's when it doesn't count towards the owner's obligation, because he actively has in mind for something else. But what we can infer from this is, if it was stam das means, I have das for nothing. Rabbi says, a lot of people go through life, entire life like this. Right? Stam, I have stam das for nothing. Right, I don't have das for A, I don't have das for B, I have stam das. It sounds like in that case, not only is the carbon kosher, but what? It also counts towards the obligation of the owner. So that's diuk number one. Alma stam nami kilishman dami. So what we see from here, we can be mendak from here that stam, no das, is the equivalent of lishma, or mini. I will say that Rava contrast, this is amazing. Kalaget shenechtav shelo l'shem isha. Puzzle. You know, we'll say, what do we learn? That any get that was not written for a particular woman, in other words, we'll say, this goes back to the Lishma Din of Gittin, that if a get was not written expressly Lishma for a particular woman, puzzle, Ustama Nami Puzzle. And we'll say, so what do you see from Gittin? Let's say again, somebody just wrote Stamaget. Stamaget. So obviously, if a get was written Shalo Lishem Isha, so Shalushim Isha means, you know, the get was actively written for another woman. It was actively written for Rachel, right? Or it was actually, you know, it was actively written for Rachel A. So Rachel B can't use it. Okay, because Lamaisa, again, it was actually written for someone else. Ustamanami Pasal. I will say ultimately again, but you can infer from that is as follows. The Mishnah over here says, Golaget Shnichtav Shalushim Isha means that the get is only kosher if what? If it's expressly written for the particular woman in question. Ustamanami Pasal. So we see from here that Gittin, that a stam dasa balsai, which means like a part of das, does not work. So which one is it? From Karbanos, it sounds like that what? Stam das, right? In other words, is good, works. Because it sounds like from the Mishnah again, Abosai, that as long as they don't have active das for another karban, stam das will allow the karban to count towards my obligation. Yet by Gittin, we see that stam das doesn't work. So which one is it? Vishani, Rava Rizal, this zvachim bistam lishman omdin. Abosai, this is amazing. So Rava said, when it comes to Kavanas Abosai, so zvachim bistam lishman omdin. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Stama lishman omdin, hilchach, kol kamadolo akar shemaihu, padihab lishman. So Abosai, remember the way a carbon works. Is that a person either said this animal is a carbon, or a person said, I have an obligation, I obligate myself to bring a carbon, or circumstantially is an obligation to bring a carbon. Suppose I, by carbonos, the way it works is, it's lishma until you ruin it. Or suppose I, that by carbonos itself, and this, by the way, this makes sense, because the only time a person brings a carbon, Abosai is how, is either A, if circumstantially is obligated, or B, if he obligates himself. So the idea is that even if at the time of the shechita, I don't have any express intent, the carbon itself is lishma. And the only time that that lishma of the carbon is ruined is when, Rabbi Hussein, is when I actively uproot it by having kavana for a different type of carbon. However, isha b'stam alav legerishin omedes. But we'll say a stam woman is not omedes legerishin. Right? A stam woman is not in the parsha of gerishin. A stam woman is in the parsha of being a married woman. So in order to go ahead and then put her in the parsha of gerishin, there has to be expressed das for the purpose of gerishin. So we'll say, this is actually quite amazing. Because what it's saying over here essentially is that once you get into the karbanic framework, by definition, you are considered to be lishma until you do something to actively override that. But as long as you do not do something to actively override that or change that, the original circumstantial kavana still remain in place. Now this, by the way, is going to be very important because this is going to dictate how kavana works in general with kavanas. So now what you're telling me is that zvachem bistamak shen, which also means that by kavanos, as long as I don't have the wrong mindset, then what? Then what? Then by definition, we assume that the carbon is kosher. So okay, so that's what it means. Zvachin bistamak sherid. That as long as I don't have erroneous mindset, the assumption is that the carbon is being offered for the right kavanas. So where do we know that from? Uzvachin bistamak sherid minalan ilim mehadistan. Maybe you'll say it from the following. Kol azvachim shenizbachu shelol lishman. So let's remember again, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said, all karbanos that are offered up shalo lishman. They're both saying, now what does it mean when a karban is being offered up shalo lishman? What does that mean? So remember again, Rashi already said, what did it mean? Where I have active kavana for something else. It was supposed to be a shlamim, and I have actively in mind for an ola. So the fact that the Mishnah chooses to say, kol azvachem shenizbechu shalo lishman, tells me that the only way to get myself in trouble is to actively have in mind for something else. For lo katani shalo nizbechu lishman. And Bosai doesn't say that zvachem shalo nizbechu lishman. See, Bosai, you hear the difference between that? The difference is, kol azvachem shenizbechu shelo lishman versus kol azvachem shelo nizbechu lishman abosai means two different things. Shelo nizbechu lishman abosai would tell me that what? That in order for a carbon to be kosher, what do you have to have? Express intent lishma. Shenizbechu shelo lishman tells me that the only thing that ruins this is when I have active kavana for something else. But as long as I didn't have active kavana for something else, I'm good. So here's the problem with that. Gabegat nami haktani, but here's the problem. I get it. Also says, kalaget shenechtov shelo l'shem ish apostle. Well, say, but get it. Also says, any get that was written shelo l'shem isha. Below katani shelo nichtov l'shem ish apostle. So, well, see, here's the problem with this diuk. We know again, if that's the case, that you can make the same diuk by gin. That as long as the get wasn't written shelo l'shem isha acheres, that's going to be good enough. But yeah, we know by get that's not the case. By get, so the only way it works is how? Is if the get is actively being written for that particular woman. So that diuk doesn't work. Elameha. Rather, Rabbi, you can learn it from this diuk. Remember again, we're trying to figure out by karbanos that stam das is good. That by karbanos, Rabbi, say, even if I don't have express intention, active, we'll call it express positive active intention for the carbon being offered, as long as I don't have kavana for something else, the carbon is going to be kosher. Where do we know that? From Elameha, this nan keitza lishman. v'shelo lishman. So again, we'll see the Mishnah says, what's the case of lishman and shelo lishman? L'shem Pesach u'l'shem shlamim. Tama d'amar l'shem Pesach u'l'shem shlamim. So the reason ultimately, again, the reason, what's the case of shelo lishma, where a person actively says, l'shem Pesach u'l'shem shlamim, ha l'shem Pesach u'stama, kosher. Alma staman kilishmandam. So we'll say, so again, take a look at Rashi over here. L'shem Pesach or l'shem shlamim. So we'll say the case over here is where a person has in mind in the beginning of the carbon l'shem Pesach, and at the end of the carbon, and at the end of the process l'shem shlamim. So Rashi says there, halushem Pesach ustama shalochishev acharav l'shem shlamim kasher afagav disof shchita stama ishchit. So we'll say you can infer from here is as follows: if a person has in mind, again, we're going to see this case later on, so we're not going to delve too deeply into it right now. But for our purposes right now, this is a case where at the beginning of the carbon, a person has in mind that it's l'shem Pesach, and then at the end of the carbonic process, he has in mind, or some part later on in the carbonic process, he has in mind it's l'shem shlavim. So he actively has in mind something different. That's where the carbon is problematic. But if he had in mind in the beginning l'shem Pesach, and doesn't have in mind anything specific later on in the carbonic process, the carbon will be kosher. So you see from here that what? Stama kilishman dami. That Rabbi will say again, stam intent is the equivalent of having intent, lishma. So which Gemara says, maybe not. Dilma shani hasa. Maybe that case is different. Why? The amar kala osa al das rishona osa. See, Rabbi will say, because maybe you'll say in that case, that as long as you begin the carbon for the proper intention, even if you deviate later on, we don't care about that so much. As long as you began with the proper intention, that's what matters most. Elam is seifa, so we'll say, so maybe therefore, even in that case where I started out l'shem Pesach, even if I have stam intent later on, I will say, that stam intent doesn't undermine the carbon in any way. Why? Because I began for the right purpose. Elam is seifa. So Rabbi Gemara says, we can learn from the Sefer. Shelo lishman ulishman. What's the case of shelo lishman and lishman? L'shem shlamim ulishem Pesach. So we'll say, let's say I shechted my carbon Pesach. And then first I had intention for shlamim, but then at the end of the process, I have in mind for Pesach. So time b'damer l'shem shlamim l'shem Pesach. The reason why the carbon is problematic is because in the beginning I had in mind for l'shem shlamim and then l'shem Pesach. Hastama u'l'shem Pesach kosher. I will say if I shechted the carbon for no particular purpose and had in mind for what come a Pesach later on in the process, it would be kosher. But say, so what do you see from here? You see from here that stam das by carbonos works. To which the Gemara says, no. Dilma shiny hasam the amar yochiach sofo atchilaso. Maybe that case is different, Rabbi Osai, because since in the end they had in mind for a carbon Pesach, what we say is sofo mochiach atchilaso. Let the end of their carbonic process shed light on the beginning of the carbonic process. Just like the end is l'shem Pesach, so to the beginning is l'shem Pesach. Inami. Aidi detana lishman b'shelo lishman tana nami shelo lishman ulishman. What's the other possibility is the Mishnah doesn't mean to make you to have you be medayik in that second case. Rather, again, it was only bringing down that second case for the sake of Mishnaic symmetry. Elameha. Rather, we'll say it's from here. So we'll remember again, just so we keep the eye on the ball. What are we trying to prove? What the Gemara espoused was a very important carbonic principle, which is what that stam das is proper das by carbonos. Which we'll say means what that. What we'll call pariv das by carbonos is absolutely carbonically fine. That as long as by carbonos, as long as you don't have erroneous das, the carbon is going to be perfectly. In other words, let me say it differently. We'll say the havamina was I might have thought that in order for a carbon to be kosher, what do you need? Specific das for the carbon being offered. Now what we're saying about say is that no, in order for the carbon to be kosher, both procedurally as well as to count for the owner's obligation, all I need is what? Or all I need to avoid is wrong das. So if I need to offer up an ola, I don't even have to have in mind that it's an ola. I just can't have in mind that what? That it's a shlam, that it's something else. But as long as I have stam das for the carbon, which means I'm just shechting it with nothing specific in mind. I just, when I say nothing specific in mind, I will say one thing is clear, which is why I have to have in mind that what? That it's a carbon. That's a carbon. But that's really the only das I have to have. And as long as I don't have das for the wrong carbon, then not only is the carbon kosher, I will say, but what else? What else? It fulfills my obligation. So it says, we're going to learn after him. I'll say, this is actually amazing. And with this, we're going to conclude. So the Gemara says, Ela meha, l'shem shisha dvarim hazebach nizbach. So listen to this. And we're going to see this later on. This, we're going to see Mem Vav Amud Beis, 46b, we're going to see this. It's going to go by quickly. So again, when you go ahead and you offer up, and you offer up a karban, you have to have in mind six things. Six things. L'shem shisha dvarim hazebach nizbach. Number one, l'shem zebach. You have to have in mind that you're offering it up for the purpose of a karban. L'shem zaveach. You have to have in mind that you're offering it up, again, for the sake of the person for whom it is being offered. Rashi says where the Shem Zoveach is, she is kaper bo bailov, v'sholo she is kaper bo acher. We'll say, so we'll discuss who has these intentions. It has to be offered up, you know, on behalf of the particular individual. L'shem shame, that I'm offering you this up for the Ribbono Shel Olam. L'shem ishim, for the sake of the fires, Rashi says, "L'shem ishim laktirim v'lo la'asosim tzliyah l'mizbeach." The goal is that I'm offering up this as a carbon, and not as a barbecue. L'shem reyach, for the sake of creating an aroma. Okay, well, again, the Gemara is going to discuss all of this. L'shem nichoach, that it has to have to be a pleasing aroma for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As Rashi says, L'shem hanochas ruach la'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'sha'amer v'nasa etzono, v'achatos v'asham l'shem chet. And when offering up a chatos and an asham, it has to be offered up for what? For ultimately, again, for the sake of a sin offering. Am Rabbi Yossi, af mi shelo haya baliba l'shem achas mikol elu kasha. Rabbi Yossi comes along and says, no, even if you didn't have in mind, right, these kavanas, your karban is still kosher. Your karban is still kosher. Look at Rashi just a moment. Shelo hayibalibo lishmo elastam. Below hisker echameler. Rashi basically comes along and says, yes, l'chatila, you should have these six things in mind. But even if you didn't have these six things in mind, nevertheless, what? Your karban is kosher. Once again, ready? This is wild. This is wild. Why? So see, you understand what just happened over here? It's like it's overwhelming. The Gemara just tells me I have to have in mind six things when I offer up a karban. Rabbi Yossi comes along and says, what? No, you don't. Right? Even if you didn't have in mind any one of these six things, right? Your karban is still kosher. So even before we go on, Rabbi Yossi attention is teaching us is that what? Even if you offered up a karban, what? Stam. The karban is still going to kosher. I'll say, obviously, again, there has to be some level of basic kavana, which is that you're offering up a karban. But as long as you had in mind that you are offering up a karban, even if you didn't have in mind these six things, ultimately, again, the karban is going to be kosher. Why? Shetnai beizdinu. Because I will say again, this is a tnai beizdin. Rashi says, shetnai beizdinu. I will say means beizdin legislated this. Look at Rashi. Shetnai beizdinu. Sheyishchatu stam. Velo yaskiru b'shchitasam l'shmok. The Mefarish Times, so listen to this. Beis Din actually legislated that you don't have to have in mind l'shma. Why? So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, Shetanai Beis Din hu, asnu Beis Din de l'olema l'shmo, dilma asi l'memar shelo l'shmo. We'll say, so Beis Din actually legislated that when offering up a karban, we're going to delve into this more, that when offering up a karban, yedafko should not say that the karban is being offered up l'shmo. Why? Because what are Beis Din concerned about? Beis Din are concerned that somebody may make a mistake in what? Say that it's being offered up, shalom l'shmo. Now, I will say, now, to actively articulate that a carbon is being offered up, shalom l'shmo, could cause a whole other host of problems. Therefore, Beis Din said, we're going to keep it easy. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. When you bring your carbon, just bring your carbon. V'isakadait chostam apostle. Now, if you want to say that a carbon that's offered up, stam, without any intention other than it's a carbon, if you want to say that such a carbon is really possible, kaimi beizdin umasni milsa de mifsobe, could beizdin go ahead and legislate something ultimately again that is possible? So we see the fact that beizdin comes along and said that when you offer up your carbon, you don't actively have to say anything. Now you don't have to say anything. Now the reason beizdin legislated that is because beizdin were afraid that what? That what? That you were going to say the wrong thing. So if our Beis Din said, you know what? Don't say anything. Beis Din could only make that legislation if what? If what? I'm just getting phone calls in the middle. And so it's only because we say that Stam Das by Karbanos is kosher, that Beis Din has the ability to legislate and say what? Don't say anything when offering up your carbon. Don't say anything. I'll say, which by the way, another Musar, sometimes in life, the best approach is, don't say anything. Because again, one thing is clear. When you don't say anything, one thing is sure, which is what? Not going to say the wrong thing. Right? Beis Din knew what they were talking about. So again, with Karbanos also, there's a lot more you could mess up by talking than not talking. So don't say anything. And ultimately, again, the Karban will be kosher. But again, this legislation only works if halacha lemaisa, ultimately, again, we say that Stam Das is kosher. So we'll stop over here for today. We're going to pick up with the get. We have to follow up with the get piece. We'll say what comes out is as follows. So let's just review what we've got. Number one, that when you offer up a carbon, shalo lishmo, then halacha lemaisa, again, the carbon is kosher, but it doesn't necessarily count towards the obligation of the bailim. That's number one. Number two, what we've seen is, once you deviate and you offer up that carbon, shalo lishmo, then what? Stay the course, continue offering a particular deviation, right? That's number one. That's number two. Number three is that Stam Das by Karbanos is going to be kosher. So Rabbi said, even if halacha lemaisa, again, a carbon is not offered up. So again, let me say differently. In order for a carbon ultimately to encounter some type of carbonic problems, one would have to actively offer it up for the sake of something else. That's when the carbon is still kosher, but not necessarily misakis to the bailim. But if a carbon is offered up with stam das, in other words, just for the sake of a carbon, even without what we'll call specific das for which type of carbon, not only is the carbon kosher, but we'll see ultimately, again, it could count towards the obligation of the owners. So stop over, pick up here, Mirat Hashem, tomorrow. Just a reminder, tomorrow is also Rosh Chodesh. Daf begins in Mirat Hashem at 5:45 tomorrow.